Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing until we find a permanent church sanctuary. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4833. And the access code is 997020#. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. Spiritual warfare is real and constant. If you want clear, godly instructions on how to be victorious, spirit, soul, and body, you need to buy my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning, family. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center, where we love people, live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. And let me welcome you to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of John, chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Amen. Well, praise God for another opportunity and the privilege to share with you the living word of God. Amen. Family, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke you and render all your powers null and void, and you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, the Anointing One, we pray. Shalom. Amen. Well, praise God, we're going to continue our teaching on the subject, disobedience, understanding disobedience and its consequences. Once again, disobedience, understanding disobedience and its consequences. Well, if you have your Bibles, please open them to the book of Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. I believe in order to get an understanding of any particular subject, you must go back to the beginning and find out where it all started from. And so we're going to go back to Genesis and work our way forward. Amen? So Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 26. And then it says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." And then in verse number 27, it says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So we see from the beginning, when God created the man in mankind, he created mankind after his image and his likeness. So the man was really created spiritually innocent. Amen. Then he made him male and female. Now, open your Bibles to Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22. We're going to read a very familiar passage that everyone knows, but I believe this is a very important scripture for the subject that we're dealing with, and that is disobedience. So Proverbs 22, verse number 6, and it simply says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Again, it says, train up a child in the way that he should go, not the way that he wants to go, but in the way that he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now that word train in the Greek means literally to make your child. Because you know your child, when you tell him to make up the bed, he doesn't want to do that. When you tell him to clean his room, he doesn't want to do that. So you have to literally make your child do it. And you start at a young age. You don't wait till he gets a teenager or a young adult and then you want to start training him. No, you train him when he's a child. Now, we're going to look at basically 3 points in this teaching. Point number one is, what is the cause of disobedience? What is the cause of disobedience? And I'm basically dealing with the Christian man or woman. I'm not concerned about the world because the world will do anything. And the world is being led by the God of this age, who is Satan himself. So I am not concerned about the world, but I am concerned about what causes the Christian man or woman to be disobedient. That's point number one. Point number two, what are the consequences for a believer for them being disobedient? And then how to refrain from being disobedient? We're going to look at those three topics from a biblical point of view and see what the Word of God says about them. Amen. So open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. I believe in order to understand the subject, one must go back to the beginning. Amen. So Genesis chapter 2, and we're going to read 16 and 17. And it says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. Of every tree you may freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. So the Lord had given man a command or a directive, an official instruction from the high courts of heaven not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Of all the trees down in the garden was full of wonderful, lush trees that had all the different type of fruits and vegetables one could enjoy. But it's just one that he commanded man, and that command was an official instruction not to eat of. Now, let's go to Genesis 3, and we're going to read verses 1 through 13. And we're chasing the question, what is the cause for disobedience? What causes the Christian man or woman to be disobedient? Genesis 3, and we're going to read verses 1 through 13. And it says, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. So we see here it says that the serpent was more cunning or more slick or more deceptive than any of the other beasts that the Lord had made. And then it says, and he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you should not eat of every tree of the garden? Now look here, it says, and God indeed said, you should not eat of every tree of the garden. Now here we see the serpent speaking to the woman. So apparently there were some animals that spoke, because the serpent spoke to the woman. It says here, now the serpent was more cunning than any of the beasts of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, God indeed said, you should not eat of every tree of the garden. And then the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden. Now here we have the woman, they're having a conversation. He says, did God say you cannot eat? And she says, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But then it goes on to say, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has says, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, in this conversation, she said something that was not correct. She said, first of all, you should not eat of it, which was correct. And then she went on and said that you shall not touch it. Well, God never said they couldn't touch it. He just said, don't eat of it. Verse number 4. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. He says, for God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Now, wait a minute. Let's stop right there at verse number 5. It says, for God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. Well, wait a minute. Well, how did she know originally that they can't eat from the tree? What was she looking at? If she was not able to see, was she looking through her eye gates? No, not really. She wasn't looking through her natural eye gates. She was looking through the spiritual realm that God allowed them to look through. Amen. Verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. So we see here, after they ate, that spiritual innocence, we can say, fell from their eyes, and then they were able to see in the natural realm through the realm of their eye gates. And they found out that they were naked and they were ashamed. Then verse number 8 says, and they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? Now, our Heavenly Father is omniscient. He knew where they were. But he was just wanting to know, was they going to tell him where they were? Amen. Verse 10. So he said, man, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? Then the man said, the woman who you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate. Verse 13, and the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. So we see here, we have the blame game. The man blamed the woman, and then the woman blamed the serpent. We have the first recorded in scripture of disobedience, the act of rebellion against recognized authority. That's what disobedience is. It is the act of rebellion against recognized authority. Now, before we go into our teaching, let's look at the trail of evidence leading up to man's disobedience so far from Scripture. So we see here, number one, that the Lord God commanded man not to eat of all the trees of the garden, that he could eat from all the trees of the garden, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he could not eat, because when he does, he would surely die. Then number three, we see where the serpent was more cunning than the entire beast that God had created. And he spoke to the woman. Now he said he was more cunning. And cunning means having or showing skill in achieving one's ends by deceit or evasion. So the Satan was using deceitfulness in speaking to the woman. Then number four, the woman spoke back to the serpent. They were having a conversation. So apparently some animals could speak. That's another reason, men, why when you're out, you need to be very careful who you allow your helpmate to speak with, because you never know what they might be saying to your woman, because they can be very deceitful in this world. Amen. Then we see, and the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that your eyes will be open and you will be like him, knowing good and evil. Then number six, she saw that the tree, it was good for food, pleasant to the eyes, and desirable to make one wise. So she ate and gave to her husband, and he ate. Eyes were open, and they realized they were naked. Then number nine, God came on the scene and confronted them regarding their nakedness. Then the man blamed the woman, and the woman blamed the serpent. Now, but in reality, it was their own decision to eat or not to eat. Because as we read in the beginning, we found out that God created man and woman in his image, after his likeness. They were spiritually innocent. But under the topic, what is the cause of disobedience, we have three other subjects. Number one is, man has been given a free will. Number two, man has an adversary. And then number three, man doesn't have the understanding of his decisions. Amen. So those are three points under what causes the Christian person to be disobedient. Because God, when he created man, like I said, he created man in his image and his likeness, but he did not create man to control. In other words, he's not a puppet on strings where God can just dangle him and have him do what he wants to do. It's just like the word of God. God is not going to make you to become a Christian. That's the decision that you have to make. Amen. The scripture says, you know, for you to come freely into the things of Christ. Amen. Because God had given man a free will, which is the free moral agency of man, having the ability to choose for himself choices or decisions that could be long-lasting and life-changing in his life or condition. So it's up to you to make the right decision. Amen? It's not up to God. It's up to us as Christians to make the right decisions. We are looking at the cause of disobedience in a Christian point of view, a biblical point of view, not the world's. At this point in God's creation, man was spiritually innocent. But because he had a free will, he made his own decision, and God was not going to stop him. That decision was up to him. In other words, man represented the state of being uncorrupted, free from sin, and Rome and moral Rome, because he was spiritually innocent. But he made the wrong decision at this particular time, and he ate of the tree. Even though God has given man the commandment not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he still had the free choice or the free will to make his decision. So we have to be careful that when the decisions that we make, that they are going to be correct and line up with the things of God. Amen. We have to make sure that when we make those decisions, that those decisions line up with God's words and his principles. Amen. That's why the scripture tells us to study, to show ourselves approved, a workman who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So I believe the number one reason why Christians are disobedient is because of the choices they make, because of the free will that they have. And sometimes, they're looking at the things of the world. And, you know, the scripture tells us in 1 John, all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And I believe sometimes because Christians aren't strong in the things of God, that they are going to relinquish to Satan's temptations. And so because they've been given a free will, they're going to go against God's word. And the choice that they make is going to be long-lasting and life-changing. Amen. So free will, if not applied correctly, will cause man to go against God's word. Amen. So please now go to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30. Again, Deuteronomy, chapter 30. And we're going to look at another scripture, I believe, that is very important to what we're doing here. Deuteronomy chapter 30, and we're going to read verses 19 and 20. And this is God speaking. It says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. So let's look at this verse first. God has called heaven and earth as witnesses against us. Amen. And then he says, I set before you life and death. Kind of sounds like Proverbs where it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it shall eat the fruit of. Because it says, I set before you life and death, blessings and curses. And then God gives us the answer. He tells us what to do. He says, therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. So we are to choose life so that we and our descendants may live. Verse number 20. It says that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice. That's why you train up a child in the way that she goes, so you can obey the voice of the Lord, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give to them. So we see here that the choice is up to us. So I believe one of the main reasons a Christian is disobedience is because of his free will and because he has not applied correctly free will, and he's not understanding God's word in relation to that. Now, please go to the book of 2 Corinthians, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Because we're looking at, why does a Christian fall out of line or disobedient to the word of God. You know, there are many young people in churches across America and the world that are single and they want to get married. And instead of marrying someone of like precious faith, they marry somebody who is not a Christian. And let's look at this, because I believe it goes along with your free will too, in terms of who they choose and what they and who they want to marry. So 2 Corinthians 6, verse number 14. And it says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness?" Amen. It says, "And what accord has Christ with Baal? Or what part of a believer with an unbeliever?" Well, you know what? I am just about out of time for today's teaching. But please join us next week when we will continue our teaching on disobedience, understanding disobedience and its consequences. Until then, please remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. "For we walk by faith, not by sight."
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net. and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.